Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Lord, we just acknowledge you as the one true God. We acknowledge you as maker of the universe, the one who created all that we can see and all that we can't. You spoke the world to existence. You opened your mouth and stars flew out. All the planets and the galaxies that we see were created by you, by your very voice. So God, we thank you. We thank you that you're a creative God. We thank you that you're a God who provides, a God who is with us all the time. We thank you that you bring us together with all our differences and you just, we can come together and worship you and praise you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today you are our only object of worship. We thank you that we were able to give of our self-denial appeal and give so freely and cheerfully to those who need it. Lord, I'm praying and we're praying that you do mighty things with that money. That the work of the Salvation Army in developing countries continues to go ahead. But today, God, we just pray. We pray that you just open our hearts and our minds. We pray that you keep speaking to us about transformation, that you continue to speak to our hearts and that we have a fresh encounter with you, that we grow in our faith and we become bold for you. Lord, send the Holy Spirit to this place to run amongst us. Our hearts and minds and spirits and bodies, Lord, do something amazing. Minister to us like only you can. Speak through me as I preach today in the name of Jesus. In the powerful, matchless, awesome, grand, inspiring, and lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Last week, we stumbled upon a bit of a two-week series. It was a series we were looking at transformation and this series really came out of having a conversation at a prayer meeting one morning with Katrina, probably about 4 weeks ago, about transformations and being called to share in that. And as we started looking at these verses, we got to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and we saw that it says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and the words are coming up, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the old is gone, the new is here. And remember, we said we need to know or we need to understand that we need to be in Christ. When we're in Christ, we are new creatures. We are new creations. Wherever you are, say in Christ. In Christ. You know what? I think people online who are traveling on the train listening to this or watching it said in Christ louder than you guys did today. Can we say in Christ? That's much better, much better. We are in Christ, and if we are in Christ, it means that God has taken the old sinful spirit, the old us, and got rid of it, just ripped it out and given us a new spirit. And now, this spirit is, we're trying to make our bodies and our minds come in line with the new spirit that's inside of us. And it's kind of like, we likened it to a computer system. You know when you upgrade the software, the spirit was upgraded. And now, the rest of the computer or the rest of us is trying to live out that new kind of spirit, that new operating system. And so we had this idea that when we're in Christ, this happens. And then we talked about being transformed from our past, from our old. So in Christ, we have been completely forgiven. Say in Christ.
In Christ.
And I don't mean just a little bit forgiven either. I mean, we have been completely forgiven, 100% for every single dumb thing that we've done, for every stupid decision we've made, for all the sin that we've kind of, and the thought, we've been completely, completely forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
We've been forgiven. The debt has been paid. God sent his son Jesus to the cross to forgive us, to take the penalty of our sin for us. You see, forgiveness is something we receive, not something we achieve. We receive forgiveness, not achieve it. Because if it was up to achieving, let's face it, none of us would ever get there. Would we? We wouldn't get there. Then we said, in Christ, we are valuable. Say, in Christ.
In Christ.
We are valuable. You are valuable. I am valuable. In Christ. And we talked about how when we look into a mirror, we see us. We see our flaws. If you're like me, you see your failings, the grey starting to come through in my beard, not in my hair, but in my beard. We see faults of us, the wrongness. But yet God looks at us and he says, you're valuable. He looks at us and says, you're worthy. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions. And so what did God do? He sent Jesus into this world to die for you and me. He sent Jesus to come along because he thought we were valuable. He wanted to purchase us back. He wanted to get to know you, to be in relationship with you. And so we decided that we needed to see ourselves, not the way we see ourselves, but the way God sees us. Like a groom on a wedding day, just looking at the bride coming down. The eyes are locked in. God's eyes are locked into us. And he's looking towards us, looking to see it because he knows we are valuable. I'm so glad that value is not set by me or by you. It's set by God and the price that he was willing to pay. And it was a price that we could never earn. It's a price that we could never get to or work towards. It was a price we couldn't afford. But God still sent his son because he so loved the world. Not a little bit loved, not kind of loved. He so loved the world. It's an emphasis on how much he loves us. And then we said, in Christ, we are completely loved. Say, in Christ.
In Christ.
You know, when my kids were born, from the minute they were born, I fell in love with them. I just loved my kids, even though all they did was cry and poo and vomit. And there was a lot of vomiting. They would just keep me up all night. And let's face it, they came out with a cone head and it wasn't pretty. But I loved them the minute they came out. And I loved them because their status or my love for them wasn't based on their performance. Because let's face it, my kids are teenagers now and their performance is pretty junky. Pretty rubbish. But I love them because of their position in the family. And God loves us because of our position in his family. He doesn't love us based on our performance. He loves us because of our position. And so if you weren't here last week, that was the message. That's where we started. We said we were in Christ. We were transformed from our past because it wasn't based on all that. God loves us in Christ, in Christ. And I've got to be honest, I'm excited about today's message. This is the one I wanted to preach last week, but I'm preaching this week because I'm preaching on my favorite verse in the whole entire Bible. And I'm excited. Who's excited? Oh, yeah, five people's excited. Five people, Tegan. Five people are excited here. Five. Oh. Who's excited? All right. So we're going to launch from, we did 2 Corinthians 5, 17 last week. We're going to go to 18, 19, and 20. This week in a message that I've entitled, It's Your Move. So if you take notes, write, it's your move. It's your move. Say to someone, it's your move. Turn to the other person and say, it's your move. Here we go. Transform to be ambassadors, it's your move. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says this, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, S-Fam, I've told you, this is my favorite verse of all time, this one right here. In the entire Bible, this is my favorite upon favorite verses. Not the one before it, but this one. And it's my favorite because it's jam-packed with so much stuff. Let me show you, right? Right? A few years ago, I got stuck on the word all, just all, in this verse. I could preach to you all week about this one word, all. I could preach to you this week, next week, and the week after about all. Because the all here is referring to the verse before. The old self, the new self, and the transformation that happens to us through our life. All this is from God. The transformation, the old life, the new life, the transformation in between is from God. All of it is from God. We like to think the new is from God. And we like to think that the transformation is from God, but the old is from God too. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't think God punishes us, and I don't think God causes us pain and suffering and heartache, but it's allowed by God. It's all from God. He allows that stuff, but then the transformation, who we turn into, and the new that he gives us is from God. A few years ago, we were working with a guy by the name of Rock. His name was Peter, but everybody called him Rock, and he was kind of built like that as well. Like, he was pretty muscly, pretty tall. He worked picking up furniture and dropping off furniture for us up in Kalgoorlie, and he was a great guy. And he has a fantastic testimony to share about how God has transformed him from where he was to where he is now. And we were working with Rock, and it was just when we got into town, and I was in the ute with him. We went down to Woolworths. I don't know why, but we were there. And he's driving around going, "Dear Lord Jesus, give us a car park. We want a car park right next to the door. Just give us a car park." And he's driving around this car park going, "We need a car park, God, praying for a car park. Got to have a car park, praying for a car park." And I'm sitting there going, okay, he's one of these people. And then all of a sudden, a car park right next to the front door opens up. He pulls straight. "Thank you, Jesus, for this car park. You are so good. You're so good." And I'm just sitting in the passenger seat at this point going, okay, he's passionate about this car park. Right? And I said to him, "Dude, do you ever think it's just coincidence that that person was coming out and you were pulling in? Do you really think God did that for you?" And he goes, "You know what? I rather think that he did. That he actually did do it and be wrong and give him the credit anyway, than to think it was luck or something happening." And so he would pray about everything. This guy was a walking Bible, a walking prayer machine. He just kept going. But he wanted to praise God. Even if God didn't do it, he was praising God for it. He understood this concept that all of it, everything, regardless of what it is, even a car park, was from God. And it was so good. It was so good because we go, okay, our new lives are from God. And the new mode of living, this new operating system is from God. Parking spaces are from God. But he also understood too that his old life, the experiences he went through, the suffering and the pain and all the stuff and the junk that he did was also allowed by God. And don't get me wrong, as I said, I don't believe God causes us suffering. I don't believe causes pain and wrongness, but I believe that he allows us to go through it to give us a story. Because how do we know God is a savior from sin if we don't acknowledge that we are sinful? How do we know God is a healer if he doesn't put us in a situation where we need healing? How do we know God doesn't provide for us if we're never in a place where our bank account's got negative numbers and you know, we need provision? How do we know we can trust God if he never puts us in those places that cause us to develop trust in God? How do we know God cares if he doesn't put us in a place where we need some caring, to be cared for? How do we know God provides parking spaces if we don't ever pray for and need a parking space? You see, I don't believe God's punishing us. I believe God is giving us a story about how good he is, about how awesome he is, about how powerful he is, about how mighty he is, about how he is a provider and a healer and a nurturer, about how he can do this in our world, how he comes to our rescue. I believe God is giving us stories to share. Stories to share. Turn to someone and say, "I have a story. I have a story." Turn to the person on the other side and say, "I have a story." You see, each and every one of us has a story. Or two stories, or three stories, or four stories. We all have a story of what God has done in our lives. We have a story of how he took us from darkness and brought us into the light. We have a story about how he took us from the miry clay, from the destruction and the decay and the life that we were living. And let's face it, my life's pretty colourful, but I have a story of how he transformed that. And now I'm a pastor in the Southwest in one of the greatest networks in Australia, if not the world. We have a story. Do you have a story? Tell me you've got a story. It's a story about how God has given us something to live life and life to the fullest. And it's a unique story. My story is going to be different to your story. It's going to be different to your story and your story. Our stories are different. God has equipped us with a story. Zoe's story is completely different to my story. The experiences and things that God takes me through is different than what he might take you guys through. But we have a story. And it's a story that needs to be told. Have you heard the saying, preach the gospel wherever you go and if necessary, use words? Have you heard that quote? Yeah. Hands up if you've heard the quote. Online, if you're online, just put, I've heard the quote. I always used to think, and I've quoted it this way in sermons behind in the past and stuff, that St. Francis of Assisi said it. I was shocked to learn yesterday he didn't. He never said it. What he actually said was, it's impossible to preach the gospel without using words. Interesting, isn't it? How we flipped it. It's impossible to preach the gospel without using words. I think our lives, when we're changed and we're transformed and we go through these things, there's a story in that. But when we share that with our mouth, our life backs it up. The transformation backs it up. The evidence is seen in how we live and how we work and how we move. Yes, we need to preach the gospel. We actually need to tell our story to others. And as we do that, we'll look at our lives and that will back up. That will confirm what's actually happened. Because you know there's a lot of people out there that say, oh yeah, I'm da-da-da-da-da, but the way they're living, whew, not good. I remember being in Kalgoorlie. I was in the spa or sauna at that point in time. And I used to love going to the sauna when the kids were doing swimming lessons. It was like 5 minutes out for me, you know, or 10 minutes. And I was sitting in there talking to a guy once. Can't remember his name. He was a New Zealander, a guy who just... He was pretty passionate, and every word coming out of him, or every second word, let's give him some credit, was beep, 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 beep. You get the picture, right? And you know, I do what I always do in some of those conversations, you know, what's your name? My name's Mark. What do you do for a living? Oh, I work on this place. What do you do for a living? Actually, I'm a pastor of a church, you know. All of a sudden, he goes, oh, no, I'm a Christian too. And I'm going, really? Really? Your mouth doesn't suggest that. I go to da-da-da-da-da, my uncles are, and I'm going, no transformation in the life. The mouth did not tell a story. His actions didn't back it up. You know, we gotta get that right. Preach the gospel, yeah, where we go. Tell our story. Let our actions then speak for themselves and back that up. All this is from God. We have the verse back up. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. See, I've just preached in that word all that whole time. That's how jam-packed this verse really is. And I encourage you to go home and check out this verse, because the truth is, God's plan A for sharing Jesus in our world, God's plan A is you and me. He's given us a story, a ministry of reconciliation, a story to go out and to share with people about how God has reconciled us, how he's changed us from the old to the new. If you're ever looking for your purpose in life, it's right there. Be a ministry, be in the ministry of reconciliation. Be an ambassador for Jesus. Get out and tell people your story, your unique story that God has given you. All this is from God, who reconciled the world to himself through Christ, or in Christ. Say in Christ. In Christ. Not counting people's sins against them, and he committed to them the message of reconciliation. See the next verse, if it's coming up, it has that message of reconciliation again. It's in there twice, in two verses. You see, we want to know our purpose, and people say, what do you think I should do with my life? Do you think I should work here or work here? Do you think I should do this or do that? Well, actually, I think you should be in the ministry of reconciliation. Your purpose here on earth is to share your story with others so that they get to know our God. To share God with people. And we do that through the unique story that God has given us. He's equipped us with this story. Is this making sense? Because I was sick yesterday when I was writing this, so you know. And I barely could think, so, you know, hopefully this is coming out right. I'm trusting God that it's coming out right. See, God's plan A is us to share the story, this message we've been given, this transformation we've gone through with people in this world. But we can't do that unless we're in Christ. Unless we're actually in Christ and we believe that we're unconditionally loved and valuable and prized by God and forgiven. When we believe that, we have this story of transformation and then we can share that with others. This story of reconciliation. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As that God was making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So Paul is saying again, you know, guys, this is your job. Be Christ's ambassadors. Represent the kingdom as an ambassador. Most countries have ambassadors. They send ambassadors like Australia has an ambassador maybe to the US or has an ambassador to the UK or to wherever. The United Kingdom has an ambassador to somewhere else. And so there's the ambassadors who actually represent the interests of a country or the interests of a monarch or the interests of something. Well, we are Christ's ambassadors. We're supposed to be representing the interests of God. This is pretty tough stuff if you actually push it through your brain. Because the problem is, and I've been guilty of this too, I'm not sure I've been at times the best ambassador for Jesus Christ that I can be. How about you guys? At times, I've sat on the bench and I've just watched other people do the work. Other people be ambassadors. And I've just been sitting there doing nothing. And I know this bit's going to be tough to hear. But we need to be we need to get off the bench. We need to get back out there and start being Christ's ambassadors. Start sharing our story. Start telling people about Jesus and how good he is. Start to share with non-Christians that there is a better way. And I can tell you we need to do this because the church, not just ours, but across Australia, dying. Numbers are dwindling, which means there's more and more people joining the bench than there is actually in the game. And we're losing ground. I don't want to lose any more ground. Do you want to lose ground? You want to gain ground? Yes. Well, good, because that means you have to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And if you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ, you're going to share your story with those around you who don't know Jesus yet. And let's face it, I know it's scary. I know it's scary to share your story with someone because it means you have to be vulnerable. I know it's scary because sometimes we share our story with someone and we're afraid we might lose them as a friend. In today's world, it's almost politically incorrect to mention the name of Jesus outside of a church. I get it. I get that we want to be people who live our lives in such a way that people see Jesus in us, and if they look at us and they want to know more about Jesus, well, they know I'm a Christian, they can come and talk to me. Actually, no. We need to talk to them. We're the ambassadors. We're meant to go to them. Ambassadors are sent out from their kingdom, sent out from where their place that they're representing to another place to share the story, to announce the kingdom, to uphold and lift the King of Kings. That's our job, is to go out. But too many of us are sat on the benches, sitting in. We are called to be agents of transformation in our world. Our purpose on the planet is to be Christ's ambassadors. And we can only be Christ's ambassadors when we realize we are in Christ. Say this for me. It's your move. Turn to someone and say, it's your move. Turn to the person on the other side and say, it's your move. Because here's the truth. Jesus sent from heaven to earth, died on a cross for your sins. Your shame, you are completely forgiven, you are unconditionally loved, you are valuable in God's eyes. God made a move. God made a pretty big move. It's now your move. It's now your move. What's your move going to be? What's your move? What's your move? I mean, God took this big move for us. It's your move now. How are you going to do that? What are you going to do? It's your move. I'm going to get my keys to come back up, if I can. Where is Christy's gone? Yep, thank you. Because I want you to think about this idea of it's your move. What's your move going to be? Because the truth is, we've all been given a story. We all have a testimony about how good God is. We all have something inside us that knows that God has done something miraculous. So it's your move. It's your move. I think a pin could drop and it's your move. If you're watching online, just type in the chat, it's your move. If you're online, it's your move. Say, it's your move. Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands for this and don't point. But in the last week, have you shared your story? Have you shared about Jesus to anyone? What about in the last month? Have you shared your story with anyone? Have you shared how good God is? How great God is? In the last year, when was the last time you shared about Jesus to anyone? See, God has given us a story. He's given us everything we need. We don't even have to make the story up. We know our own stories. We know what God has done in our lives. We know how He's taken us from death to life. We know we are new creations. But it's our move. It's our move. It's our move. We've got to make a move. And we might lose friendships when we make that move. And we might offend someone by saying Jesus because it's politically incorrect out in the streets. And we might be seen as Jesus freaks. Quite frankly, I'm okay with that. But it's our move. It's our move. God made a move. It's our move now. It's your move. Personal move. What are you going to do? So what I want to do is sing this song, How Great Is Our God? How great is our God? Because He is. And if we really are those ambassadors for Jesus Christ, then we need to make some moves. We need to start sharing our story. We need to start getting out there and telling people about Jesus. And we do that in various different ways, I get it. Some of us need to go home, look in the mirror, and actually start practicing how we would tell someone about Jesus. Some of us have to get used to sharing our stories. And at morning tea time, I hope that you find someone and you just share your story with them and say, how is it? Is it powerful? Because I guarantee you it will be. There's powerful stories out there that we need to share. Some of us have come from drug-affected backgrounds and alcoholic backgrounds, and I'm one of those people. You know, I was homeless for a little bit, and I have been made new. I now have this new life in Jesus. I've been on this journey for 20 years. I did some dumb stuff. I was telling my kids the other day that I was so drunk one night that I jumped on the bonnet of a car at 70 kilometers an hour when someone was driving. I'm surprised I'm still here. That's some of the dumb stuff I've done. But I'm not dead, and God's not done with me yet. See, we have a story to tell. And yeah, mine might sound really good, and yours might sound really good. Then there's other people who grew up in the church, who have known God all their life. And I'm jealous of those people, because they've had to know God all their life. I haven't. Those people have known God. The testimony is that through their whole entire life, God has been faithful in everything. And there's probably times that have been hard for them, but God has got them through. There's been times that it's probably been hard for you, and there's been times that are hard for me, but God has got us through with a 100% success rate. It's our move to tell someone, to share our story of how good and great our God is. It's our move. And so, if you're in a room today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, you're not in Christ, then you have a chance today to go, you know what? I want to be in Christ. I want to be a Christian. I want to follow Christ with my life. And if that's you, what I'm going to get you to do is stand up when we're singing. And just stand in declaration going, God, I'm going to accept you. I want to be fully 100% in Christ. I was telling someone the other day, I find it harder to believe that there is no God than there is a God now. Like, you can't convince me that there is no God. I see him working everywhere. I see story after story after story, but yet we don't share those stories. What would happen if the church shared those stories with just one other person? Over the next 3 months, what would happen? We all shared a story with someone and they came and started following Jesus and started coming to church. In 3 months, this place could be filled really quickly if we get bold enough to be true ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We need to share our stories. It's our move. It's our move. So if you don't know Jesus, stand up when we sing. But the other group of people I want to talk to are the group that know Jesus, that are in Christ. They get it that their sins are forgiven. They get it that God loves them. They get it that they're valuable in God's eyes. But you've been sitting on the bench. You've not really engaged. You've not shared your story with anyone outside. So I want to challenge you today. And only if you're serious about this, I want you to stand up and say, today's the day that I draw a line in the sand and I'm making my move. I'm going to make my move. I'm going to find people. I'm going to start to share Jesus, my story with them. How God is good. How he transformed me. How he changed me. I'm going to be an ambassador that represents the kingdom of God with all of my life. I'm going to speak it out and I'm going to preach it out and I'm going to tell my story like an ambassador would. And so if that's you and you want to get serious about that, and I mean really serious, I invite you to stand up too. Because we're going to sing these words. Age to age, he stands. And life is in his hands from beginning to end. The Godhead, three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me. Share the story with me about how great our God is. And all will see how great is our God. So the challenge is there to share the story. Today, I don't normally preach this forcefully, but we need to do something. It's our move, and we need to. So I'm going to get the singers to come back up, take their places. We're going to sing how great is our God. And as I said, if this is you and you want to make a stand, stand up. Draw the line in sand, stand up. If you're prepared to start sharing your story, stand up. Let's get serious in the house today. If you're online, just type, I'm standing up. Here we go.